The basic truths are still the truth. There is joy in the work that God gives you. And in a wealthy society like ours, we all want to work smart so that we won't have to work hard. But one of the secrets of success is that smart work is hard work. Paco de Lucia, best flamenco guitarist in the world, up until his death about 3-4 years ago, said this. He said, "People say I'm a genius, but I find that the more work I put in, the better I play. I have spent my life by myself in a room practicing and perfecting my techniques. And every once in a while, I go out onto the stage and I share them with the world that wants to hear them. That's genius. It's called hard work." Now, he was a genius player, but he had to put the work into it as well. The world is watching. The world is deciding about Jesus based on what they see in us. And so we start off by working hard, wherever we are, with whatever we have. Are you raising children? Don't just think of this as a temporary something I got to put up with for so many years of my life. Are you kidding? This is a grand opportunity. You are forming and shaping the next generation. If you're raising kids, that is unspeakably important work. We're right now living in the chaos of kids not raised well. Now, I am really happy to be amongst families that have not been part of that mess that is in our culture. There are some really great kids raised in this place, and they're ones holding the world up and changing the world for better. Raising kids, lead by example. Work hard, work with joy. And whatever it is that God has called you to, throw yourself into it. Work hard. All right, let's talk about working smart. Now, this is going to be related to wealth, which we're going to talk about in a few weeks. But Paul, in the scripture we read earlier, said, "I laid a foundation, but I laid it as a wise builder." Sophia architecton. We recognize those words. Sophia means wisdom. And an architect is something we still use that word. He says, someone who's skilled and has wisdom. I share the gospel as a wise builder. Now someone else is building on it, but each one who builds on this foundation should build with care, because this isn't just my style that's reflected in this gospel. There's eternal truth here. And you need to take great care of what you build on that. Build it well and build it right. Wisdom in the Bible is the way that a craftsman's skill is described. In the book of Exodus, God is telling Moses, have the temple materials and the furniture built by Bezalel. He's the guy who's going to be in charge of this whole project, and I have imbued him with wisdom. He knows how to do this stuff. So that whatever it is you know how to do in your life, that is your wisdom. Do it well. And as you gain more wisdom in your skill and in your craft, you will be developing and using all that God has given you. And your wisdom will then tell you. You'll know, because you're good at what you do, you'll know what you can't do. You'll know where the end of the road is for what you can accomplish. And that's the place where God's wisdom begins to take over. That's when you know that, you know, everybody gets lucky once in a while. If we just say, well, God, help me out today because I wasn't doing very much myself, that's not giving much credit to God. But if you say, I'm good at this, and this is all we could do, but God enabled us to do this, and so, you see, push out the area that you're able to affect in your life. So let me just give you four examples from the scripture, one from each era of the Bible, the time of the law at the beginning, Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers when he was a teenager. That would be considered a really disadvantageous working environment. But Joseph worked hard and he worked smart. He quickly got to be the guy who was in charge of his master's house, Potiphar. Then he got falsely accused and sent into prison and spent a couple of years there, and he rose to take care of all the business in the prison. He was the administrator for there. He got then pulled out of that prison at the right time and became the administrator of all of Pharaoh's house, which included the country of Egypt. So God is able to take your hard work, your smart work, and do amazing things with it since the beginning. Then in the time of the prophets, the next era, that starts with the book of Joshua and goes all the way through Kings. In the time of the kings, David was a clever man, and he was a hard worker and a smart worker. He acted like a madman in order to escape the Philistine king. Now, it happens in the work world. David was running for his life from King Saul for about 10 years. And somewhere along the way, he got so discouraged that he said, you know, one of these days, Saul's going to catch me and kill me. So he just went to the Philistine city of Gath, and he went in there, and he went to see the king there, and then he's hearing word on the street as he's making his way through the city. Isn't that David? Isn't that David, the very successful warrior from that used to work for Saul? Saul kills his thousands and David kills his tens of thousands. Your enemies tend to remember things like that. Well, 1 Samuel 21 says this, that David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. He was being taken to the king. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Lovely. And I love this part. Achish said to his servants, "Look at that guy. He's nuts. Why are you bringing him to me? Am I so short of crazy people that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" And so they threw him out. Well, David wrote a psalm praising God for getting him out of that situation. David was very clever, but he had worked hard first for his father as a shepherd boy. I'm the only one out here, and these animals are attacking our family's sheep. So he got really good with a sling and a stone. That came in really handy the day that he met a guy named Goliath. He just took a stone and just drilled him right in the forehead and dropped him like a sack of potatoes. He had worked hard at learning his craft. And then he turned in his sling and rock and went to work for Saul and put on armor and carried a sword as a field commander in his army. Like I said, nothing's guaranteed. If you get more popular than the boss, you're going to be in trouble. So David found himself running for his life, but God was in the middle of his work. And so he worked hard and smart, and God brought him to the throne of Israel. Later on, in the next era, in the era of that we call the writings, during the exile and after the exile, young boy named Daniel, 15 years old, got taken into exile, and he was chosen by King Nebuchadnezzar, and he went to Babylon University. And you know what he did? He learned their laws, he learned their language, he learned everything he could about them, even though they were foreigners and disgusting to them. He learned all he could, and he ended up being administrator of all of Babylon. And then we get to the New Covenant, the final era of Jesus the Messiah. And Paul, the guy we've been talking about, he labored, as I described to you. He knew the scripture, he knew a trade, and he took all that and he poured it into doing exactly what God called him to do. And he ended up bringing the gospel before the emperor of Rome, before Caesar. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. Believe me, all these guys that you think have it made in life, they're looking for somebody who knows their stuff, that knows their own craft. It's not about a particular kind of education or a particular kind of training. It's you becoming who God made you to be and working hard to find out who that is. And if you don't do that, if you just stay home and go, well, it may not work out. Of course it may not work out. You go out there and you do it anyway. Even if you don't end up doing the work that you thought you were beginning to learn, you're going to find out who you are in the process. Just this last week, Charles Krauthammer passed away. And he was a guy who was got through Harvard Medical School, had a terrible accident that left him paralyzed, I think from the neck down, for the rest of his life. He finished up his psychiatry residency and all of that. And he got there and he said, you know what? I don't like being a psychiatrist. I don't like sitting and listening to everybody's problems. Well, he's now in a wheelchair, paralyzed, and has a trade and a craft and doesn't want to do it. But he just took who he was and all he had learned in that process, and he became one of the great political commentators of our time. He worked with Ronald Reagan when he was president and developed what was called the Reagan Doctrine, and then eventually became one of the most, I mean, a lot of people in this country who followed him for many years felt like things in the political realm just got a good deal darker because he has passed from the scene. And that's the picture of someone becoming, even though your initial take on something didn't really work out right. It's okay. When you go somewhere thinking you're going to do this and things change, you don't go back to the beginning. You go this way or you go a different direction. Do everything you can with what you've got. And we have some great examples in this congregation of how what that looks like. Ryan Norman's wisdom with cars. I love his wisdom with cars, my cars especially. Dan's wisdom in medicine. He goes all over the world helping people in refugee camps. Butch and Holly Barlow in their restaurant in Danielson, sharing the gospel with in a tough neighborhood. And I've asked them to come and share with us just a few minutes if they would. Guys, come and talk to us about how your work has brought you.
Good morning. We are Butch and Holly Barlow, and we have a restaurant, and we've been running it for about 24 years. We work a lot. I'm not going to even tell you how many hours we work. You probably wouldn't believe us. But we're very regular there, and we have a lot of regular customers. And when the regular customers come every day, once a week, once a month, you get to know them on an unusual level. I can't quite describe it, but we have everything, you know, drug dealers in and out of jail, we have businessmen in and out of town, and they all bring something to us. I see it more that than the other way. I like to ask questions, just let them talk. It's so much fun to find out that, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm gonna go pick up some hay for my wife's sheep. Okay, didn't know that about you. Stuff like that. Most of the time it's more obvious to me that the people are there for less for food and more for company. And maybe I can say the same thing about us. So anyway, one of us is more long-winded than the other. I'm gonna step aside now and we'll let them take over.
Nice, huh? Well, as she kind of just let you know, she's the better half, I'm the other half. So, give you a little skit. It's 5 a.m., I got the key in the door, and the early morning crew of customers file in like cattle. They all find their seat, and they wait like sheep. Some of them I have known for 37 years. We've owned it for 24, but I've been there since 1981, so I go back 37 years. That's when I started. Sooner or later, sometimes right off the bat, I find myself having to do 5 jobs at once. It's not fun. It's not pretty. And then the dishwasher calls in sick again. Oh yeah, okay. So I get on the phone and I start calling my backup dishwashers. And of course, that one had no minutes on his phone. That one's not answering it at all, you know. I get the same old story. So now my 5 jobs just jumped to 6. Great. More mundane work. Soon I start doing the dishes when my grill help arrives. And I start balancing on working in a little grumbling, because that's part of my nature also. I try to push it away, but it keeps working its way in. After a couple minutes, one of the wait staff, sometimes my wife, they'll remind me that we have limited forks and teaspoons, and there's 3 coffee mugs left available for new customers coming in the door. So now my temper is starting to peak, and the little man attitude, you know, with the big forehead, starts threatening all around me. I only have 2 hands. I still need to put the meatloaf in the oven and get the steam table going and make the chicken soup that I didn't get done the day before because I ran out of time. So sooner or later, one or more of the customers that I've known for so long will make that classic comment, "Hey, who's the new dishwasher? Ha ha." That's it. I'm right about here. Now I'm ready to flip tables over and tell everyone to leave. Flip tables over. Somebody did that before. Stop. Don't do it. All of a sudden, the little voice comes in my head, and I start, thankfully, thinking of one of the many lyrics from the Christian songs I've been training myself to listen to on 106.9 KLOV as I drive back and forth to work in the morning and at night. And the lyrics, they jump into my head and they calm me down. Music is great. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through a way of thinking that fixes things for me. But while we are here, working hard, hopefully smart, and always for the Lord is the way to witness to others. Along with maybe putting tracks near my register, I put the weekly bulletin in the bathroom so that people, I know they're gonna go in there. I know they have to look at the wall or on top of the back of the toilet. And they just might pick up the bulletin and see where we're at, and they may pay a visit. It's no pressure, nobody's watching them. You know, I don't have cameras in there, so it's a polite way of you know, sometimes they pick it up and they take it with them. Sometimes I find it in the trash and I get like, what? And she reminds me that I still affected them. You know, that still affected them. They were moved by the bulletin. So that's my bathroom ministry, I call it. So I am a work in progress, and that's why God has a dishwasher calling sick every now and then. I know that. And the Bible verse that I chose, Pastor Leon already mentioned it. It was Proverbs 10, verses 4 and 5. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son.
Thank you, guys. Now, Butch often shares with me after service stories of the people he's impacted, and a lot of times they're people that nobody else is going to get to. They're just out of jail, they're just going to jail, they live in the drug world, and he gets to share the gospel with them because of the place that their restaurant is, and they insist on being there and on sharing this message. Well, let me close with just one verse from the New Testament, Colossians 3:17, that captures this for us. Whatever you do, Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now that's an attitude for a lifestyle, okay? Can you see that? Can you imagine you thanking God for everything that goes on this week? And I'm bringing that all into the category of your work. I need to work harder. I need to work smarter. I need to work for the Lord. Those things. So carry one of these things around with you this week just to remind yourself of all that God has done for you, all he's doing for you, and all he's got out in front of you. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for the work that you have given each of us to do. And some of the things you've asked us to do are things that we just never imagined for ourselves. Lord, and some of the things you've asked us to do, we haven't quite got around to yet. So I ask that you would just open our hearts to what you're saying to us. That through the Lord Jesus, and I'm just going, I started with the assumption that this is really for us who are in Christ. And if you don't know the Lord, this is how you get to the place where you find joy in your work and in your life. Because you end up working for somebody who owns the whole thing. Thank you, Lord, for what you give us. We ask that you would help us this week to rethink, to commit ourselves to being your servant, your child, wherever we are, whatever kind of work we're doing. Lord, sometimes we have to do that while we're firing somebody. Lord, sometimes we have to do it while we're comforting someone, while we're with our child, while we're with our parents, whatever it is. Give us that strength that whatever we do all in the name of Jesus. And it's in his name we thank you today. Amen. Thank you.